Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Only Wizards in the Dungeon podcast, season 2, Agency Archives. That's right, we're solving multiversal crimes and saving universes beyond random Magic the Gathering reference. anyways, my name is Cav.
Well, we wouldn't know if we're saving them because we don't get any information after.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, shit,
yeah. I guess you should get an update at some point.
I feel like it's implicit in our like after action reviews as agents.
My thank you letter, you know, for all the.
I get my paycheck, I think.
Yes.
So I think that's evidence, maybe.
As currently Cav, represented by Skurzit, which. You know, taking over this flesh, as we call it, flesh space, body.
In the meat space.
Meat space body. I will, if you survive, then maybe you'll be able to get a review with the person who you keep talking about, who maybe you should just forget about in case you do fail. But, you know, anyways, I will introduce all of our agents who have come into this universe and in a circle before I give my fun fact. So let's go to my, you don't know which direction.
Right. I don't, because you're looking in both directions. His eyes are split.
I'm almost in the middle, so I'm happy.
To the right.
To the right. So I am Gray. I play Agent Umber, who in the meat space. And in the
love this term.
in the candy space or whatever the sugar space, the sweets, what the
sweet space,
sweet space, in the sweet space.
I love sweet space.
I was thinking like more like vegan, like veg space. You know, you're in like the veg space.
No, the sweet. No, because it's Christmas and they're all.
You know what?
I've got candy canes for head for hair.
Veg space is the room where you keep all your bongs and video game consoles.
Veg space
where you just
go high.
Veg out. I play Purdy Who Bunkins, who's awakened something within themselves by changing their hair color.
Yeah.
You know, and just experimenting a little bit.
Like every goth girl Lolita.
Yeah. I've uncovered that I have some witchy powers. Mm-hmm. I'm a witchy woman, it seems. And my fun fact is, it was my fiance's dad's 60th birthday yesterday.
Nice. Whoa.
And we played a game called pickleball baseball. It's what it sounds like. It's just baseball. It's like baseball, but someone pitches a wiffle ball at you and you hit it with a pickleball paddle.
Okay.
But you have to hold a drink in one hand.
Oh.
It's one-handed, batting, one-handed catching, and then running bases with
messy.
The drink. And it was wet out. We played on grass.
No.
And we were just like, I have scars.
Star.
We were just like, it was the most absurd thing I've ever done. Like, this is like 60-plus-year-old dudes getting, like, pulling hamstrings. Oh, it was unhinged. It was absolutely.
Oh, my lower back.
Yeah, literally, like, you know, like, I'm out, like, immediately one person pulled their hammy. They're like, I'm the umpire now. And then about halfway through, he was just like screaming at everybody. He was like, he's
they
like,
haven't done
one more peep out of you and you're out of the game.
Oh,
it was really funny. Very fun. I would recommend it. I would recommend a canned beverage.
Mm.
Just a little bit more insulated. Now, but not anything that's like too carbonated because like, I had a beer and it just like every time I would run a first, like a base, it would froth up and like literally just be pouring down my hand, even though I didn't spill.
Yeah.
So maybe like, I don't know, no drink at all, just like a bubbly or something.
What about the protein shake?
Like the seltzer water would be ideal. Yeah, protein shake.
One of those like non-carbonated like margarita drinks.
Oh, yeah.
In a can.
Yeah, there's one.
Oh, yeah, like a little cocktail in a can.
Yeah,
not bad. Yeah. Yep.
Just anyway, have like a coconut. One. Just like straight up, just like a freaking coconut, you know?
With a straw.
Like five umbrellas.
I mean, there was a moment where I literally, like I was trying to stop myself on second base and I literally, there was no sliding. I like slid like 10 feet past the base. He had dropped the ball. I was like, oh, I'm going to get back to the base and tag it. Or like, can't even get up. We slip. I fall on my can. I crush it in half. I still tag the base. And then they're like, no, you can't. You spilled. It doesn't count. And then I'm like, literally.
How many drinks
half
were you
the can. Half the can still full. So so even though it was crushed against me, it was still full. Because I guess the way I'd crushed it was like I'd closed the top.
That's cheating. You pinched it off.
Yeah. So it was hilarious. Anyway. So now I'm carrying around not a crushed can.
That's
a flattened can.
That's dangerous.
It was dangerous, especially because some people were playing with wine glasses.
Oh my God. So, okay. Well, that's
don't
interesting.
Try this at home.
Don't do
or,
that.
Or try it.
But be prepared.
And then don't sue me.
Yeah, exactly. That's a fun, interesting game that I've now learned about. What about you?
We'll play it one day.
Yeah, I'll definitely try it. I'll try it at least one. Introduce yourself, next person.
I'm just a humble man. I'm just a humble guy. My name is Will. And
it's his birthday. You wouldn't hit a humble guy on his birthday.
So you believed it for a second.
My name is Will, and I'm role-playing as Gambash Yellow, who now goes by Gambi-yi for now. You know, we're experimental stage.
This
who
will never
is cosplaying
stick.
As a middle-aged non Sister Valerie Wu. Okay, more like retirement age.
Yeah. You're
it's 60. 62.
You're retired.
So hold on, your rebranding is Gambi-yi. And you're also cosplaying. It's like both things.
Yeah, I mean, I'm multifaceted, okay? Yeah. Part-time, full-time, like, you know.
I think people are going to be able to figure this out.
Yeah.
You know, when they go search for your new album. Or whatever.
For Gambi.
They look up Gambi and then they find
Boy.
Valerie Vu instead.
But anyway. Yeah.
Okay,
hold on. What's my fun fact? So I'm reading this book. It's called Convenience Store Woman, okay? It's this like really fun book written by a Japanese novelist lady. I don't know her name.
Yeah,
but anyway, the concept is spoilers, I guess, is that this lady, she's like middle-aged also somewhere in that age. Or maybe like late 30s. I don't know. And she works at a convenience store, just like as like a convenience store person. And she's like super happy.
Shocker.
Super fulfilled. But like the society in Japan and her like family friends, they're like, no, girl, like, no, you're a convenience store person. Like, you gotta like climb the ladder. You gotta like get out of this, go marry a man or something, you know? Yeah. So I was reading this, and when I read like the hook, I was like, well, that's amazing. Like, let's dive into this. Like, what is it about her that makes her so kind of like fulfilled in this, right? So this is a reading, and it's clear that she's just autistic. Like, she's literally just like heavily autistic and working this job where like she knows exactly what to do, and it's very like systemic. And like her boss is like kind of like giving
it
her
fulfills
that, like,
what she
it makes comfort. Her feels like, she even says it's like, it makes me feel like a gear in this like machinery that is the world. Whereas before she would, like, for example, when she was a kid, there was like a scene where like the two kids were like fighting in the playground or like the school, and everyone's like, oh my god, stop, oh my god, stop. She's like, they need to stop. So she grabs like a fucking stick or pipe and just like punches like one in the head.
Yeah.
He obviously stops, and everyone's like, what the hell? She's like, well, you said to stop. And the fastest, most efficient way was to, you know. Or like they see a dead bird in the playground. She's like, mom, let's bring this dead bird to dad and cook it. He loves like cooked birds. Like chicken or whatever.
He always buys them at the store. This one for free.
But I think the point is that I noticed like in a lot of media, like storytelling, whatever, that I've noticed. Is there's this trend where like there's a really cool concept where one person sees the world from like a unique way, and it's like really fun to like learn about it, and then the more you like, you know, like look into it, the more you're like, oh, they're just like on a spectrum, which is not like a bad thing, but I feel like it's kind of like a, like almost like a throwaway thing now. It's like, for you to be able to like get out of the status quo, out of the box, you have to be like near spicy, you know what I mean, to like even see a different perspective, which I'm like, I don't know, it would be fun for this woman to just be like not in near a spicy person, not because being near a spicy is bad, but just because it's like, well, a lot of people might not be on a spectrum, and you know, it's like, how would they deal with like this like desire to just have like a regular job that's like really low stakes, and then like, you know, kind of like not be pressured into like trying to like grind or whatever.
You think that's just like a symptom of categorization in general? Like, there are people who have expressed different interests and traits, and
people
ability,
just like label,
and then they just go like, oh, that's, we need to call that something, and then you just like, and then now you're like, well, now it's a range, and they're not entirely segmented to that, so now it's a spectrum,
of course,
and then it's like. And then at that point, you're just like, it loses its meaning anyway.
It's the new right-wing Sovietism. If you don't love grind culture, there's objectively something wrong with you, and we're going to treat you as mentally ill.
But the issue is, if this was weird,
And also, now weird is a spectrum.
Yeah.
But the thing is, unlike real life where like everyone is complex, the book or the story is only as complex as the writer makes it. So if she, like the author, would write someone who is like super duper clearly, heavily, near spicy, and it's like really clear. It's hard to argue that, oh, they're just like a, you know, like they're just like maybe unconventional or whatever.
It feels maybe like a trope has been.
It's like almost like a little tokenism trope.
They have to fulfill the, I don't know,
like fulfill that expectation of a autistic person.
It reminds me of a weird episode of American Dad. I don't know why. I don't love American Dad, but there I like Roger. But there's this one episode. There's like this one episode where I think it's making fun of like a series of movies, and the younger kid, I forget his name, Steve goes off with his friends.
That was the chin, like the peanut, like
with the weird
chin.
Balls chin. Yeah. But he's going off with his friends to take his other friend to like the funeral of his dad, who he's estranged with, and they get to a motel, and he finds this manic pixie dream girl, and she's just every trope of manic pixie dream girl, like everything that we categorize. It's like, and she's weird and quirky, and it's like, what does that mean? She's literally lost all of that because she's unrealistically weird and quirky.
Yeah.
And it's like Scott Pilgrim. It's like the whole idea of like these women that are like with the trope of, oh, they're weird, but it's also a trope. So it's no one is weird in this way.
Yeah.
But I mean, in your case, it's more like it sounds like someone who's just talking about like what it means to be in Japan and the grind culture and not follow the majority, which is big in Japan. So like for Japan, that book is probably very like kind of pushing boundaries. But here it's like we've been talking about autism a lot. So it probably feels tropey in a sense. Yeah. As well, that's
it could be that for sure.
Yeah. The difference in kind of like media culture,
but in American Dad, I hate it because like Family Guy is so much better. Like all the characters, Family Guy,
both the same.
No. Listen, Family Guy family is much more like iconic, and like the characters just feel more like fun to watch. American Dad once, like the kids are just like annoying and boring, and the mom is bland as fuck. She doesn't have that Peter, like you know.
Actually, I prefer Francine because she has more agency, character growth, random shit. She does.
I don't know. She's just like, she's not about character growth.
She becomes a, like, at one point, when they do an episode where they get like pills that let them stay up all night, she becomes an like ocean biologist and
but
finds.
But she can't say PETA. Okay. That's
terrible. What?
Would you say that the Griffins are more grounded?
I feel like American Dad's family is more grounded for sure, because I don't know, but that's also because I think Family Guy's been out for longer, so they've kind of flanderized a lot. They've become way more generic, and so has American Dad in some ways. But you can't make Roger generic because he has like multiple personality disorder, and therefore he's constantly doing something.
He's just like a gig machine for sure. Literally. Like a gig insert.
He's such a good writing tool.
No, he is a good writing tool for sure.
Anyways,
Roger the alien.
Yeah, he's the alien. Okay, yeah. He's the best writing.
The new Alien Earth show. You guys should watch it. Anyway,
well, he also like you can any moment you can just add another bodily function or something that like you know just like adds to the.
So ridiculous. Anyways, with that, I guess we'll introduce our next player. Please introduce yourself and your name, fun fact, etc.
So my meat space screen name is Graham.
Yes.
And my agency character is Agent Periwinkle. My current Call of Cthulhu character is Sandra Sulu, the very Judy Hopsian.
Now, what are your logins?
Oh yeah. That's a really good question. What is Sandra Sulu's login? It's going to be Crime Stops Here, and the E in crime is a numeral 3.
Yes. I think that makes complete all of your login information. It's like Crime Stops Here. I mean, would it be Christmas Crime? It's like super long. Crime Stops Here.
So you're saying somebody else already had like
it's crime uppercase stops here? Uppercase X MAS crime with the 3 stops here.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. I think all of us are gonna have Xmas in our
probably in your logins.
I mean, that's actually a lot of X. That's really hilarious when everybody logs on. It's just versions of
Xmas. You can see that the like patina on the Leakness. X key is
completely used up. Yeah. And what's your fun fact?
My fun fact is that I need to re-oil my raincoat because it's big and it's giant and it's stinky, but I'm still getting wet through it.
Interesting. You can re-oil them?
You have to. Otherwise, you just soak it. Just it soaks it all up.
Wow.
It's like a regular coat.
It's like a canvas.
Oh.
Like,
I'm sorry. Re-oiling?
Yeah, what oil or waxing or whatever you can put. Yeah. You put a barrier on it.
A coat?
Yeah. It's a fabric coat that you want. Before we had plastic, you know, fucking. Before we had like
oiled coats.
Wax. Yeah, we were using. No.
It's basically made out of like canvas, like, boat sail.
Before we were turning petroleum into clothes, okay, you used like natural fibers, you know, like cotton.
I haven't used them.
And hemp.
I don't know.
And then they would wear those, and then you would you know, waterproof it with an oil based product.
Or I guess wax.
Cotton.
Wax. Or like also, going way back, you would just use like really dirty mountain sheep wool, and it has natural oil in it.
Oiling in it already, or like you could put literally animal fats on there as well, or any.
Like Vaseline.
Like, like lards.
This is why you don't need raincoats in
Hugo. And then you would fight wars in the trenches and be in wearing like, cotton.
Put some Vaseline on it. Like,
well, the oil lasted about a week, and now we're just wet. Soaking in it, and now I have green toes.
Yeah.
Don't worry, the coat's now 90% lice.
Exactly.
It's just become insects. Interesting.
Should there be mushrooms growing on my feet?
I keep thinking about how I want to buy less plastic clothing, and it's very hard in modern society.
It is hard.
Wearing a hemp shirt right now. It is
my issue is that like I have OCD. So if I travel, I'm scared of bed bugs. So I go and I put like my clothes, you know, from the travel into the washing machine on high heat.
Yeah.
And then I fucking high dry it too, just in case.
Yeah.
But it's not good if you don't like, if it's like full on like natural material, it's all going to shrink, or it's just like very delicate, unlike polyester or whatever.
Mm.
So it's just very hard for me to own like a bunch of natural material. Cause like I do abuse the high heat drying, which is like,
That would limit it.
Here's a fun fact. One of the least pleasant parts of my job is I have to decide whose job it is on any given day to like manage all the things that are going into the bed bug oven and then take them out of the bed bug oven and clear out the dead bed bugs.
How often do you use the bed bug oven?
Daily.
Yeah.
And it's actually like bed bugs are daily like a thing?
Sometimes there's nothing going in there.
It's just for like, you know, you're doing it on a precautionary measure of like going.
We're taking things from, there's two particular locations that have it really, really bad. And if they see something with signs of infestation, they wrap it up in plastic and send it to us.
First identify that it is bed bugs, or they just send it to you if they're worried about it?
They send it to us if they're worried about it, but like you know, the people who take it out of the machine know how many dead bed bugs come out of it. Apparently quite a few.
Well, there is that's random. I guess this will be my
how
fun
many
fact.
Dead bugs.
Well, no, my fun fact is that bed bugs are coming back because they only were reduced in number because DDT was so prevalent.
What's DDT? Mm.
So my fun fact, as I introduce myself, Cav, the DM, is that I watched a random video.
I don't care about your name. Give me the fun fact.
I was watching a video about just a thing about like bed bugs and their history and how they've been around. And they said that one of the things that stopped bed bugs from being like a more common thing in housing in general was that people started to use a lot more very harmful insecticides, which were obviously bad for us, but also were very bad for bed bugs. So bed bug populations collapsed specifically because of, they think the argument here is DDT, which was used extensively, not just in like, you know, as a pesticide in agriculture. They used it for cleaning houses, for doing things for bug spray in Raid, similar things like Raid and stuff like that, for treating clothing. And the thing about bed bugs is bed bugs basically travel very easily, obviously, on furniture and on like pieces of beds and things that people are obviously traveling with that they stay in, that they lay in and where they would feed. But they also only go a very short distance beyond that location. So like bed bugs don't tend to like to go too far away from the source that they've infested because they only can live if they have food.
Yeah.
So they don't like to go more than like a few meters beyond.
They don't have
where
like little scout ants going out there, like, you know,
but
half
I heard
a mile.
They can actually survive for like almost a year. Was like
they can. They can survive for a long time, but they stay within that short distance range.
True.
So if you were treating everything with DDT and killing everything on it, the lingering effect of DDT can also stop them from like reaffecting the location. But then you're surrounded by DDT, which is very bad for humans. So it's now changed where I'm not surprised there's more problems with bed bugs at certain locations because people have forgotten about how easy it is to, when you get a bed bug infestation, to then have it explode, and then you have to like clean out the whole room, and you have to go through, you have to leave it empty for a long period of time, and you do have to use pesticides, which are bad for you, and so it's like this whole process.
I don't actually, because the research I've done, like what they do is like the pest control people, they install this huge like heating lamp to like warm up the room, and it's also like not as, you know, bad as using pesticides. So I thought that nowadays, like I thought thought that the current consensus is, first of all, like, a male bed bug, they're not really an issue because, like, if let's say they latch onto you at, like, a hotel and they come to your new place, yeah, they're male, like, they can't reproduce, they're just gonna, like, end up dying.
Yeah.
It's the females that matter.
Yes.
And yes, as you said, because they don't travel for a while, like, you just obviously,
yeah,
you know, throw, like, if you have some container plastic,
yeah,
big, like, bins, you can, like, put stuff in, lock them, whatever.
And high heat washing. And literally
high heat washing. Yeah. And then you install those lamps, you know, whatever, mattress, maybe throw it out if, like, pretty evident and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But I feel like people, like, if you're aware of bed bugs and you do travel, if you just take, like, basic precautionary things, like, inspect your luggage, just, like, basic inspection, plus high heat clothing stuff, it should be, like, 95%, like, safe.
But most people don't do that. They travel without thinking about it. I didn't even think about it until I watched this video. I'm like, I have never really checked a hotel.
Because I asked my therapist, I was like, am I too OCD about, like, coming home and having, like, after a trip and, like, high, dry, whatever, heating? And she's like, no, I do that too. Like, I think it's, like, if you do it, and then after that, you're like, I need to do it again. And again, that's, like, your OCD kind of, like, compulsion.
Hmm. I wonder if, like, it's never good enough kind of thing. Like, you just need to keep doing it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if also, too, just people are washing their clothes, like, and
more frequently.
Way more frequently than they ever did before.
Yeah.
You know? True.
I think, like,
very true.
It's hard to get any overgrowth if you're just constantly, like, swapping shit.
That's true.
Like,
well, true.
Very now, not point. Everybody. Not everybody's in that. But I think that's just because now people have more availability to automatic dryers. And
True. Very true.
Well, and I think part of the reason, like, that they're called bed bugs, even though they get in every kind of fabric, is because most people's beds have some element of upholstery on them where they can go and
Ledger that's
like,
hide
like if you're not going to take apart your whole bed and put your whole bed into the laundry, then there is a place that they can retreat to safely.
Otherwise,
you know. But I think also what Cav was saying about, like, people forgetting how easy it is for them to start an infestation, like, that plus the, like, stigma around it causes people to hide it. So
and then it gets worse. Well, yeah. So we know bed bugs are eldritch monsters. And with that, we will transition into our recap. Last time, you got a huge lore dump. You basically accessed...
That's like 60% of the session.
Yeah.
Huge lore dump. Moving on.
You got a bunch of relics. You got the Shawl of St. Cindy, a sentient piece of clothing that has now made a deal with Valerie Vu.
A little passive-aggressive.
Low-key kind of a bitch.
Low-key kind of a bitch. Has a weird accent that was shifting the whole time as I was doing it. And we also got the Rosary of Mother Verity, which was given to Sandra to wrap a weapon with so that it can deal holy damage. And then
Mother Verity, full of grace, blessed art thou among women.
Yes, exactly. And then you fire a gun and it goes, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's like through the air.
Amen. No.
Yeah. Sorry. It's like through the air. And then you also read the books of St. Cindy, her diary, which gave more information about what happened after Mount Crumpet, a little bit before, but mostly after Mount Crumpet, and her relationship with the shawl, as well as her research into maybe some eldritch or magical things. The book of Mother Verity was read, which gave a more accurate representation of what the church was, this attempt to try and curtail what was deemed excessive use of dangerous magic by the Christmas witches, and an attempt to shift the perception of Christmas and what Christmas was to protect Whoville. Whether that's been effective or not is up for debate. Also, miraculous event happened where
I give up half of my life.
Yeah. Sister Valerie asked the shawl if it could help bring back their father figure, Father Gregory, and it offered to do so if Sister Valerie gave up half of their remaining lifespan. That deal was struck, and Father Gregory was brought back to life at a cost, basically an exchange. So the remaining 5 to 6 years of life that it said you had, it gave 2.5 of that to Father Gregory. After the guards came in and the church was able to ascertain the situation, Father Gregory told you what kind of happened a little bit, that Sister Viridia had stolen some item from the reliquary office, and you then decided where you wanted to go next. You decided to go to Purdy Hubunkin's mother's studio, which is the fashion studio that she runs in downtown Whoville, to check on her because there was some suspicions about Purdy's father. When you arrived, Purdy's mother's secretary was downstairs on the lower floor, let you into the building, and told you that Purdy's father had come to visit a couple hours ago and was still upstairs. Upon going up the elevator, Purdy transformed themselves into one of her mother's friends using the Burgundy Book's power, And when you went into the studio space, going down a hallway, you checked a few of the doors of this hallway that would lead to the work studio and noticed that a secretary had been stabbed with a knife, a kitchen knife of some sort, and was stabbed basically up against the wall and was pinned there. You went into the studio space and saw your father, who's also a Gregory,
but he goes by
Greg. So we'll call him Greg Hubunkins, because he goes by Greg, and his name is Gregory. And you saw Greg was in this large work studio that is basically a space for Purdy's mother to cut fabric and design clothes. And it had a sort of functional kitchen space so that she could have food there if she was working late and things like that. With a very good spot hidden check, Valerie was able to notice some blood splatter on the ground and looked to see that behind Greg Bunkins was a beanbag chair that was leaking a little bit of blood. After
more blood than usual, though.
Yeah, more blood than a usual beanbag chair.
It doesn't take a detective degree to put things together.
Yeah, exactly. Purdy Hubunkins in disguise walked towards her father, and when Valerie went over and just unzipped the bag zipper, it appeared that Purdy Hubunkins' mother had been stuffed into the bag and was bleeding with blood all over her face. At that point, Greg Hubunkins grabbed the friend of Purdy's mother, put a knife to her throat, and not knowing that this was actually his daughter, and told everyone in a panicked voice, seemingly having been cornered, that they all just have to kill themselves and everything will be fine. That is where we leave it. So basically,
he's a strong negotiator. You can tell he's a businessman. Yeah.
Donald has his hand on the gun, or actually has probably pulled the gun out because he was prepared for that. And I think also, Sandra, you said you had your gun ready. So you both have your guns pointing at him, and he's got a knife up to Purdy. And Valerie, you're by the open bag that is got blood dripping out of it. And you can kind of see a little more clearly now as we exit the world pause that the mother appears. You can't tell if she's breathing, but her eyes are closed and her head has some blood, and it's covering her face, suggesting maybe a head wound of some sort. And that is what you kind of notice in that one moment.
Yeah.
And that's where we go. So he just starts to back a little bit away towards the chair and pushes the knife a little bit up towards Purdy's throat. And it's just like, all we have to do is we just have to agree. Suicide. Was all of everyone do suicide?
Well, that's just silly.
Hold on, Mr. Bunkin. Don't do anything you're going to regret.
Well, we can talk about this.
No. You open the bag. You know that something has happened.
Would your daughter say?
What exactly has happened? Like, let us in here.
He quickly thinks about whether he should lie. I will roll a fast talk. So can you give me two dice just behind you in the little thing? 44. So he, you don't really understand if he is telling the truth, but he seems like either he's convincing or he's just very good at kind of making up bullshit. He goes, she attacked me with a knife after killing her secretary. And I was overwhelmed. And then you came in here and I knew first immediately you would probably blame me, as everyone blames, you know, men these days.
Was it the same knife she killed the secretary with?
I think so. Well, no, she there's many here, and I grabbed this from her after I defended myself, and I didn't know what to do. I had to put her away before someone accused me, a wealthy businessman, who, by the way, is judged far too harshly in modern climate these sort of days. And I had to protect my daughter. She's holding a knife to your throat.
I want to believe you.
Well, it makes sense. I think that I would have done the same thing in that position.
I hope you can understand how much it does look like you're knifing people here from how we've walked in.
Exactly. So maybe you should just put the guns down and we can discuss this more calmly. And you see Donald is shaking his head like he doesn't want to do it.
Donald, come on. You're both men, you know? You have to, you understand each other, you know, in this.
It's like, I am not like this man, as he shakily holds a gun.
What would the spirit of, you know, whatever.
Christmas? Spirit of Christmas?
I want to keep saying God, but there is
Christmas
no God.
Spirit. Yeah.
What would the spirit of Christmas spirit say if it saw you, which it does because it's a spirit of Christmas spirit, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
What would it say, you know, if it saw you doing this?
Oh, I don't believe in all that bullshit.
Oh. All right. What would your daughter say?
My daughter would understand. Absolutely. She's always been compliant, understood what we have to do as a family.
Uh-huh.
Never once spoken out of turn. Always listened to me. She would absolutely do exactly what I'm telling you to do right now.
Purdy, how do you feel about that?
Purdy, here's that. Wait, Purdy. Is she here? Did you not bring my daughter to this bag? Close the bag if she's having...
Well, she's just downstairs. I told her that she'd come up in about 5 minutes or so. But if you kill us, then she will know.
Also, there's a 10% chance she's your daughter, but like, you know, it's just a 10% chance.
And let's be real. This is a really poor hiding place for your wife. Like, maybe just to clear the air, maybe let us help you move her.
What if your wife is still alive? Like, I can see that she is bleeding, but like not terminally.
She's
like,
still alive?
I don't know. Is she still alive?
Do a spot hidden. Is that a spot hidden?
Oh, I should check if she's still alive.
No, you disabled her. You know, she doesn't have a weapon anymore. Well, she's not a threat.
Maybe you stay where you are because we've all still got guns on you and you're still feeling very threatened. So there's no need to take a closer look at your
coffee.
Wife.
I really need coffee. It's been a long day.
You can go get coffee. Let's go to the kitchen. He lets you walk to the kitchen.
He lets you go to the kitchen?
Yeah, there's a tiny kitchen here attached to the studio.
He's a businessman. He knows. You can't make decisions without coffee.
Yeah, you start making coffee. Now, as you start making coffee, you can see, like, you look at the sink. You go over there.
There's blood in there.
There's blood in the sink. He was washing his hands. He was washing things. And that's
he made himself
odd.
A coffee.
He made himself a coffee. There's one on the counter.
Can you please, I'm sorry for reminding you, but can you just run through the spells that I have? I have three spells. One is a healing spell.
One is healing. One is Isis. One is
Isis. Interesting.
One is Elder Sign. And one is Seal of Isis. So I'll just get those for you. So Seal of Isis.
Summon a lady who fucks her dead brother.
Oh, yes, yes. How about this? Wait, maybe can you tell me if those spells are in any way, shape, or form like applicable to this situation? Or
I can tell you Elder Sign, probably not.
Okay, so it's just one spell because healing spells are probably not right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, unless she's alive and you want to try and heal.
Yeah, yeah, but that's. But I'm talking about like diffusing the situation like in general.
You don't have like a dominate or something. That's a different
one. Okay. I have an idea. Who has a gun here?
This man is dead to me.
I have a gun. Donald has a gun.
I have a gun.
Well...
Hey, yeah, don't you?
I do have a gun.
You have a rifle on.
Do
on
I have
back.
A gun? Wait, do we all have a gun?
Everyone has a form of.
Okay, so I'm gonna pull out my gun.
Okay.
Well, so he I'm panics. Gonna pull. Hold on.
Oh my god.
I'm gonna pull out my gun.
I don't think you're that good a
point
shot.
Point it towards Sandra. Okay?
Oh, okay.
Hold on. Just wait.
Okay.
Just wait. So I'm gonna pull out my gun.
Val Pal.
What's the dealio?
Yeah, Donald goes.
I'll like quickly look at your wink. I'll be like, I'll try to like send you a signal, like play a long type of thing, you know.
Do you remember that? Like rocket jump or whatever. Like there was like a old OG kind of YouTube days where they would do like
just rooster
like,
teeth.
No, even before. No, it's like. Like, do you remember Video Game High School and stuff like
yes,
that?
Yes, I know Video Game
okay, so
High
like,
School.
What's the guy's name that was that like started that?
Homestar Runner?
I'll find his name and then maybe you'll recognize it.
But what about, because I have no clue. I have like, I'm not in on this.
Neil Cicierga?
It was Freddie Wong. Freddie Wong. He used to do these skits where... It's so stupid. There's one with Key and Peele, and it's like it's the same thing. It's like they have him pinned and then like, and then... Jordan Peele's is like his like partner, and then he's like no, yeah, just like this whole.
Wait, it was the one where they were like the triple quadruple agents, right?
It's like
the
he's a sleeper agent. Yeah, he's like once I see the word like sugar plum, whatever. It's like and he activates. And then he's way, that's not. And then the next thing you know, he's like, but meanwhile, I already knew that you were.
So that's why
I have snipers already prepared for this moment. Yeah. Take you out. And then and they unzip themselves, and it turns out that they were actually each other. Like, if you're you, who am I?
I have Seal of Isis.
It never ends.
Seal of Isis protects inanimate objects from magical attacks. So it allow you to turn clothing, weapons, objects into magic things can't hurt it, which is good for protecting from eldritch monsters. Yeah, you can make a door not harmable by eldritch magic. Physical force can still break it, but if there was a spell or something, it would block it.
So I'll be like, sir, like I'll refer to like the dad, and I'll be like, I'm actually like, fuck, I don't know. Like, I'm not, you know, I'm just like the improv elements are not in my brain right now. So basically what I'll do is I'll be like, I'm on your side. I'm working for you. Wink, wink. Your, what's her name? The wife, like the soon to be wife that we.
Oh yeah, Audrey, Audrey.
I am Audrey sent me, wink. And
we know that Audrey's dead.
Yeah. Oh yeah, but you know, but yeah.
It's good, this is clever.
Audrey saying hi. And she was saying that everything was going to plan last time I saw her. But I infiltrated those weirdos.
Okay.
And I'm just waiting for your command. Like, tell me what to do.
Okay. Well.
So reverse gambit here.
Yeah. Then shoot them.
I don't know if we need to be so.
Donald immediately just like goes to point at you with his gun shaking.
I'm like, Donald. Somebody gotta.
You have to shoot that, but I have to shoot you.
You gotta shoot your leg.
My leg?
Or your arm. Like, it's like, you know, like you already have one arm.
Donald's rapidly running out of limbs.
I have a question. I have a question. How, you know, I did my mom like to put up a struggle? How sharp is this knife at this point?
You're looking at a knife that he's pulled out that he was hiding. He's washed it, obviously, in the sink based upon what Valerie saw. So it doesn't look like it's been used, but it appears from just looking at her face, like there's a lot of blood suggesting she may have put up a fight and he had to hit her a few times.
Okay, so he seems like he's not adept at this at all.
No, I mean, like, your father doesn't do this really
stuff himself.
Okay. No, I'll be like
he doesn't do. Yeah, he doesn't do his own dirty work. You know, typically,
sir.
No.
All right.
With all due respect, I can't do that because your daughter, you know, she really is attached to all three of those people for whatever reason. And
daughter, hold on 1 second. While you're talking, can we just establish what is my father? He keeps, you know, he keeps proclaiming he's a businessman. He's a serious individual. He's one that he'd never, you know, he's being unfairly criticized. He's never hurt anybody. He's never done undue. What's his physical stature like?
So
when was the last time he did any physical labor whatsoever?
Not a long time.
Okay, I'm going to physically overpower him.
Okay. I ain't never done nothing to no one.
Yeah, his greatest workout that he's done in recent memory is he went on a ski trip where he went down a hill and was very slow about it, and he asked his attendants to make the hill easier because it was pizza pasta.
He rented out the whole hill so he could say he wasn't just on the buddy.
Yes, exactly.
The whole resort. And nobody could see him.
Exercise he's had lately was Audrey.
Yeah, most of it was Audrey.
Yeah.
Before then was
she does all the work.
A ski trip, and it wasn't really that.
He's a pillow princess.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
So give it a shot.
Give him a big elbow right in his big gut.
Okay, so roll a, I guess, fighting. I'll give you a bonus die because he's distracted.
Right in his lipoed gut.
Yes, okay. He's got a garter. He's got a garter belt on.
Yes.
To make him look slimmer.
Yeah.
So roll a fighting brawl, and he'll get a bonus die because he's absolutely distracted currently by Valerie.
All right, so I'm already below half.
Okay. He can't dodge. He does not see this coming. So as this happens and he's like, then shoot them. And then Donald and Valerie are like, what do we do? Should I shoot one of you? You take your elbow, you hit him in the stomach. You see his garter belt kind of like stretches, like it's going to burst.
Contract.
And then
it comes undone at the back.
A little bit. A little snap of something at the back.
The buttons and all the snaps are gone.
Yeah. And then I guess he wouldn't drop the knife, but he's going to be distracted enough that he looks away from you. Like, he basically stumbles.
Well, I was aiming for a liver shot.
Yeah, so he's buckled over.
I've had about enough of this.
Yeah, he's buckled over. He's, like, got the knife in one hand, but he's completely distracted in this moment. So the rest of you can, of course, then turn your guns back to him. So Donald goes back to him. Valerie, I assume you can pretend to still look like you're on his side.
I think I'll pretend for now, yeah.
He
Sir!
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Sir, no.
Exactly.
I assume you take the rifle that was on your back if you want. And just like point it at
him. Yeah, I'm gonna pull it out like a granny shotgun.
Hold on. While you're like brawling, can I like at the same time I'll like look at Sandra? You're like relatively close to me, right? Like
you're like probably in the kitchen area. Like
you remember me, Greg? Okay, I don't miss.
Okay, Sandra, Sandra, come to me. Just grab my gun and like pretend you tackle me. Sandra, come here.
I'm gonna like slowly start sidling that direction, but keeping my gun on Greg.
Yeah.
Sandra, you're like 23. Come on, be fast.
You're like whispering a little bit. He's too distracted because he's been punched. Yeah, yeah. He looks up at the person.
I'm just gonna lay low. I'm a little be like, fuck it, whatever. I just throw you a gun and I'm like, oh.
Yeah. You make it look like you've lost control of the gun.
I spill my coffee on my fucking thing, like on my
coat. And as you do that, you see that he looks up towards Purdy, who is again still thinks is the friend of this mom, and looks at you with like really just like anger and frustration. And says,
"Woman,
I should have had my butler kill you years ago."
Well, that's just rude.
We all are in a tense situation, and I can tell you that the people who I know, if you kill me, will absolutely track you down and get you too. So let's talk about that.
I've had about enough of you talking. Well, I need to tell you something. You were a terrible host and a terrible father.
Who told you that? I'm a great father. I don't know what you're talking about. I've done everything for my child. Everything. I
literally bought her a Nintendo Switch 2 on release
day. I bought her a Nintendo Switch who?
A Switch what?
A Switch who? The best
where?
Version. Switch what? A Switch where?
No, the Switch where is coming out next summer.
Maybe delayed again.
We have exclusive rights to sell it.
But it's really just a Nintendo bottom that's in denial.
He goes, I've done everything for her. Everything.
Well, then why are you killing her mom? Oh, no, I didn't say that. She said that.
Yeah, so Fandra says, why are you killing the mom? Because I had to prove myself. Something is coming. You could all be a part of it, too. You could be safe when...
If we vote for Trump, like something
tells me he went from
coming.
You can all kill yourself to now I can save you all.
I can save you all. He's desperately trying to find a way out of the situation.
Sweaty,
but
it's been bad, hitting really. The adrenochrome.
The adrenochrome? I don't understand. Look, she didn't even like you that much. Okay, she didn't like. I know that, and you doing all this for her doesn't make any sense. All of Whoville's going to be destroyed Christmas Day. Anyways, so really, you should all consider working for me. This could all go away. And
thing is, I think we're trying to stop all of Whoville from being destroyed on Christmas Day.
Well, the thing is, we all have the guns right here. And you're in no position to negotiate.
We would like to hear a little bit more about your friends, though, that are going to hunt us down.
Also, you're driving your business into the ground. I don't know if you've been into one of your little Santa's helpers in a while, but they are horrific.
Not helpful.
They're terrible excuses for a Christmas department store.
Well, I think concern for the long-term viability of this business
selection
is probably not.
It's so limited. It's absolutely you had birthday wrapping paper in the middle of Christmas season.
We were trying to expand our market.
It was front and center. And not only that, your customer service is going down the drain. It's absolutely atrocious.
That's because they don't work hard enough.
You know what I want?
That's because they're a woman.
The only thing that will make me put my gun down and make a deal with you is 51% ownership.
Done.
And one trip sponsored by Jet to Holidays.
Again, what investment are we expecting him to have in his business's long-term viability if he thinks the world's going to end in 3 days?
Yeah, I'll totally give you...
All right, 100% ownership.
Fine, you can have it. But I was going to give it to my daughter. But I guess if you want it, I can give her...
Nothing.
Just the main benefit.
Which is what?
Well,
which is?
If you work for me, if you join my group... will rule the remainders of the world.
I just want the department store. No.
You're thinking too small. This is why everyone here is so bad at business. They don't think beyond what we could do with this, what the world will look like when everything is sucked under Mount Crumpet and consumed by Throgrib, sovereign of greed, and we become kings among the Whos, leaders of every piece of shit that rocks the streets. We could be the rulers of everyone.
You think somebody called the Sovereign of Greed is going to let you share power with them?
Well, I mean, that's what the person who spoke to me, they've read books, they've done their research, there's all this information, this knowledge, and if we know the right knowledge, if we know the right words, if we sacrifice the right people, then it will listen to us. It'll give us what we want for Christmas.
What do you want for Christmas?
I want what everyone wants. I want my family to be the most powerful, to be the richest, to be in charge. We should be in charge.
Well, you just lost your marbles, all right?
Girl, I want to go hiking insane. With my brother for Christmas. Like,
what matters is that you own a department store that's supposed to supply people with the needs that they, what they need to be able to give their friends and family.
I run a department store to make money.
No, well, no, you're in the service of helping people support and treat their friends and family. You need to provide wrapping paper. You need to provide quality knicks and knacks for stocking stuffers. That's what you need, because other than that, you offer nothing of value. And you need extended return policies, because sometimes things don't fit, you know? And sometimes you get, around the holiday season, you get a little bit round.
I know so much about my business operation.
It's a lot of things that you need to change.
It's almost like she has an inside view from within your family.
You're a corporate spy. You're obviously a corporate spy. What department store do you work for?
Well,
Who Greens?
No, I'm just...
Who Mart?
All right.
Who
I got you?
Oh, that's good.
Who blows? Who blows? It's like love blow, but
who blows?
Who lost? Half department stores anymore?
Yeah, they're more grocery stores. I mean, maybe you're a grocery store person. They've
Target. Been yeah. It's no different. Just Target.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, like, what Christmas gift has food? None. So they're trying to infiltrate the market. Yeah, I mean, actually candy, but like...
Yeah.
Wait, is there candy on Christmas?
That's like not a lot.
Halloween.
Christmas Amazon.
Christmas ham.
Ham.
Christmas
I feel
Amazon.
Like Terry's chocolate oranges are iconically Christmas oriented.
In here, yeah. Though.
Those like, little Lindor things that look like fucking
it's
oranges.
Terry's chocolate hoobies, though. You right. Crack it, and then they have a little recording that goes,
Kermit!
Yeah.
And then, like, right before you bite, they're like, actually, I changed my mind. Yeah.
What you need to be doing in your position is saving Christmas, not and saving the Whoville.
This town is shit. It's filled with idiots and stupid people who just constantly are making my business harder to deal with. We should just... Look, I know perfectly well what to do. We end it all. And besides, I was offered... The only thing I really want, my daughter to be rich and powerful and to... Rule the world with me, because we should be in charge of it.
Classic.
The mayor is a shithead, does too much control over what I'm trying to do as a business person. I might as well just take it over. And the person who's working with me, they know the truth, and we can't stop it anyways. It's going to happen regardless.
Of course we can't stop it. Of course we can stop it. We can always stop it if you believe in Christmas. Spirit.
I don't believe in Christmas.
That's very apparent. But maybe it's not that... You are so much better than this little town that maybe, in fact, Whoville, you haven't outgrown Whoville. Whoville has outgrown you. And you're stuck in your little small mind about what it is, little profits here and there, picking up pennies in front of a steamroller. Well, we're just trying to celebrate and how much we love each other. You know, just little nicks and knacks and bops, just to show people that we care. And I'm sick of it. I'm sick of this. I am. You've lost... The true meaning of Christmas, a long time ago.
Yeah.
A long time ago. In fact, as long as I've known you. As
You've
long
known
as I
me
can
for
remember.
Like 2 years. Who the fuck are you?
Well,
all right, I'm just going to fucking do it.
You remove your disguise.
I've known you my whole... Sorry, hold on. I've known you my whole life.
That was the loudest you've ever spoken to me. What are you...
Father, you are a disappointment to me.
No, I must be going crazy. This wouldn't have happened because you're
downstairs.
You're just a student.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't compute.
You're in school, and you would never get involved with any of this because I made sure to keep an eye on you. I'm obviously I'm just having a bad day. I'm having a moment. He just starts to. I'm going to roll a sanity check.
You know,
I'm
gonna, a moment. It's
while he's having a moment, I'm just going to go try to heal the wife. Because like,
sure, you want to try and cast healing?
Yeah.
Thanks for that. I appreciate that.
a successful heal check there. Let's see. Let's have Purdy roll a luck check to see if she's savable with like medicine or she's still alive. If not, then it's like a more complicated use of
procedure.
Healing.
Procedure.
You're like 55. Oh, I have more than that, though.
Yeah.
So I got to get under luck. I got 19, which is under my luck.
Okay, so she, you go to just like check her. The weakest breathing. The weakest breathing. She's been very heavily injured. And you don't know if he was actually intending to kill her here.
Yeah.
Okay.
You get the sense that maybe he
kidnapping,
put her in the bag to then put her somewhere else. And it was because this also happened a lot with the other who's that were kidnapped. The sacrificed who's were taken and then killed somewhere else. So you get the sense that that was maybe what's going on here. So healing. Yeah. So how this works is you're going to have to spend some sanity and some magic points to be able to heal. Magic points are based on your POW. Yes, yeah, so you've got those. So let's say to heal here is going to be you're going to spend a D. She's very injured. So I'm going to say it's a D10 of sanity. And then that's just what you lose just to use it. And then you're also going to lose, in this case, she's lost all her hit points. So how much do you want to heal her? That will dictate how much magic.
HP is one Christmas period?
It'll be probably multiple magic points per HP healed. So
magic points.
Yeah, so it'll Christmas be... period. Yeah, you'll lose a D10.
Let me roll a D10 right now.
Okay.
F4.
Okay, so you lose 4.
10 magic points left.
And then you have 10 magic points.
So she's like 1 out of 10 or something. Like 1 HP probably.
She's at 1. She's one. Definitely
probably 1, right?
So you would
like
give...
3 HP, like 6 points? Or
it would be probably like 2 or... I'd say 3 magic points per HP. You can give like 1 or 2, which would get her enough to solve her major wounds and stop her from dying.
Okay, 2 HP. Yeah, okay. I'll give 6, so I'll have 4 left.
Okay.
How do I regain them?
Those ones will recover like slowly resting. Over time resting. So next day you'd basically get them back. You speak to the shroud, so you connect to the shroud, and the shroud sort of speaks to you and goes, you wish to bring her back?
Yes. Also, sorry for spilling coffee all over you. Totally unintentional.
It's okay. I already cleaned it. You see, there's no coffee on the shawl, but there's some on your tabard below.
Was it, like, annoying to clean?
Oh, no. I'm very good at cleaning up messes.
Damn it. All right. Well, I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
Anyway, I do wish to heal her.
You're not good enough at medicine to do it yourself?
I was busy doing other important things throughout my 62 years of my life, okay?
True. Okay.
You don't know
fine.
Me.
Actually, your medicine score is pretty good.
Yeah, your medicine's fine. He's just like being a dick.
But I feel like medicine, 35?
Oh, that's not that. That's fine. Yeah, it's not great.
It's better than mine. It's 35 times also, better than mine.
I think medicine and like they're about to die and we don't have like a medical kit near us.
Yeah.
A little, you know, it's like it's one of those.
Just give her a little bit of Robitussin.
You touch her like head and you... agreed to sort of exchange.
I literally inject Ozempic. I'm like, it's gonna do the miracle.
You don't just inject Ozempic. Your hand starts to meld a little bit with her skin, and then your body starts to shudder. The space inside starts to kind of shift in color. The light is changing around you, becoming more like Christmas light twinkling.
Yeah.
And your head sort of snaps backward with a very loud crack.
Oh,
and you
God.
Scream as you sort of see blood come out of your mouth and travel down your arm and go into her mouth. Her body shakes.
Terrifying.
And you fall backwards and begin to cough up little bits of like tinsel you'd put on a tree that's in your mouth.
Hopefully I don't have any like... conditions.
Yeah.
I was going to say, the good news is you're alive. The bad news is you may have hepatitis.
Yeah.
It's also good to get the tinsel out. You know, you don't want to be swallowing that stuff.
True, true.
So I don't know. Yeah.
She kind of shudders and her eyes flick a little bit open as a wound heals on the back of her head. She also coughs up tinsel.
Daughter.
Man, why do you guys eating tinsel? Like, what's going on?
And you see that she, in the beanbag chair, shuffles, doesn't know what to do, sees the father, sees all the guns on him, starts to, like, try and unzip the bag.
Well, I help her, obviously. Yeah.
She gets up.
Stay put, hon.
You see now what happened to her. He obviously had tried to stab her from the back and had got a few knife wounds into her body before striking her on the head with a heavy implement to knock her unconscious. And then he was hoping to move with her quickly before she would die. She was just basically incapacitated. And then he stuffed her into this bag. She's wearing like this very fancy blood covered now, like feather boa that's all Christmas themed. Her outfit is impeccable. She's very stylish, but it is, of course, ruined by blood and other sort of just wounds. She stands up. She sees Purdy. She doesn't know what to do. She kind of looks away from Purdy. She goes over to the dad and she slaps him across the face. Yep. And then she goes, I will kill you myself, you son of a bitch. And then he goes, what did you do? No, she was supposed to. Dear, you really need to just calm down and wait, consider.
He quickly goes in ChatGPT. He's like, great. How do I tell my
how
wife?
To gaslight your wife.
Yeah, how to gaslight my wife. Your wife.
Like, I had to do it. You weren't cooperating.
Yeah, he literally goes, I had to do it. You weren't cooperating.
Yeah. You wouldn't come peace, you know, calmly. Yes. You're so hysterical.
I told you that this was all important. You want our daughter to be successful, right? And she goes, she looks at you, looks at him, and goes, I'm not even sure that this is my daughter. You stupid, lying, cheating, son of a bitch.
Oh.
And she grabs your rifle and is going to try and wrest it from you. You can present it, you know, like resist. As she tries to grab the gun from basically your hand.
Maybe I shouldn't spend like all my magic points like helping this woman.
I don't know. I forgot to tell you, my mom's pretty crazy too. They're both just unhinged.
She's not evil, but she is. And then as she says that, I
was literally raised off of a book, a story time.
Even if, yeah. Like, she's not your daughter. I feel like by this time you are. Like, it's like, you know. Like,
I had inklings. I should have mentioned that
to you. Well, and because
that I read a bedtime story as a kid that happens to look like this book, and my mom wasn't reading it to me.
No.
So, my mom wasn't reading it.
Yeah.
To me.
So. And then you also realize that Audrey said that they had hooked up for a while and you don't know if he had multiple other partners. So that's a thing.
I don't think Audrey was
no.
Honestly, I think that's made up. I think Audrey's just like, I don't think Audrey even has genitals.
Fair. They'd gone away. They were just a smiling face.
I don't think she knows how.
Yeah. She's trying to grab the gun, but obviously you can resist. And then she will kind of stop if you resist and look at all of you and say, okay, I don't know what happened. I just dreamed something disturbing, and now I'm alive, and this bastard is still here. So can someone explain to me what happened? And you see the father goes, no, this is all wrong. He looks at you pleadingly and goes, Purdy, everything I've done is for you. All I wanted for Christmas was for my daughter to get what she deserved. You deserve the world, Purdy.
No,
I've made you into the perfect woman.
Dad, you are just a selfish son of a bitch. All you ever do is think about yourself. And, Mom?
Yes.
You didn't protect me.
She looks ashamed, but she doesn't say anything.
But Dad killed you just now. And I think he's lost it for the last time. He's lost his mind. Whatever little semblance of sanity that he had left, he's gone now. I hope that maybe once we stop this, you know, he'll find peace someday. But
you guys should all just go to church together. It really will fix things. Okay?
Why don't we go to church as a family as a kid growing up? Come on. That would have solved everything, right?
Yeah.
All right. He probably would have fucking taken us to a culture, a fucking Scientology.
See, Donald goes and grabs like something to tie him up, is just looking around for clothes.
Yeah.
Goes behind your father, and your father doesn't resist you. There's too many people.
I'm just gonna keep pointing the gun and grab him.
This is happening to you, Dad. You've lost.
If you don't give her to them, then we are going to die just like the rest of everyone else in Hooven.
And if we die, we die. But we're not gonna die having given up our humanity.
Love it.
You just say that to them, and your mother looks at you like she doesn't know what to say, but kind of nods. And Donald is like, yeah. And if you don't shut the fuck up and listen to Purdy, I will shoot you in the back of the head. And
well, Donald.
What?
That's very sweet of you.
Thank you.
You've been very protective.
This person was awful to you, and I want to shoot him.
Well, yeah.
I've unlocked a whole new way to deal with my trauma.
Him too, but right now
we should never show Donald.
We still need him. We still need him for what we still have to do. We have a lot ahead of us here.
Okay. Fine.
Still, he's saying this is not over. It's over for him, but it's not over for us.
You see that he kind of clams up and gets a little quiet because he doesn't know what to do. He's been caught. He's been found out. And also, he's outnumbered for sure. Your mom looks at you and looks at you for the first time, like, in a long time directly. You've noticed she's actually always tried to kind of avoid you in more recent times, too. Maybe she found out about something, and that's why she's been avoiding you. But she looks at you, and she says, I don't think I can really get forgiveness for everything that's happened. But when I was bleeding out in a beanbag chair, I realized I probably was in the wrong in my past. And, you know, life flashed before your eyes, everything becomes more clear. And I am sorry for taking out some of my frustrations with your father on you by not being around. You should know that I think he had an affair with one of our nannies. And I think that person may be your real mother.
Wait, I'm sorry. Hold on 1 second. So does she not remember? Oh, fuck. I keep forgetting that they don't give birth. Yeah. I was like, do you not remember giving birth to your own child?
Yeah.
They made a Christmas wish for you.
Sorry,
or something.
Hold on. Wait, 1 second. I'm so sorry. Hold on. Just the who? Can we just go back into the who logistics here?
Who lore?
How can you even cheat or have biologically related children?
So presumably they still fuck.
They had sex, but the idea being that
you're still under the assumption that the fucking is what you know initiates. Yeah.
They're all
the,
sterile.
The umbrella. The kids. The baby's showing up.
When really,
but is that actually true? Is that like the only one they fucked as a baby?
No, it appears to be that everyone is in Whoville sterile except for the Grinch's family. Yeah. And then the idea is that anyone else who has relations, if they have relations, they can like make a wish for having a child. Like they'll, if they want to have a child with that person.
Okay, so
one will appear.
So it does. So there is somebody like dispensing children. There's like a thing.
Dispensing children.
So, but it's not like you could be just like walking down this like one day.
Yeah.
And you just get a baby on your front door.
No, it appears in the night after you've wanted it.
But what if three people want it at the same time?
Yeah. And it also makes sense that
be parents apparently.
Your father wanted you. Right. He wanted an heir to his fortune.
But hold on, why a woman?
Well, yeah, exactly. I feel like that's strange that he would have wanted a girl.
There's a weird question about that. Sometimes
maybe
he
wanted a boy, but
they
but
ran
I,
out.
But I
the
can't.
Sale
yeah. came back as a woman, maybe because of relationship to Vera.
Yeah,
involved.
But I can't be. Yeah, exactly. There was conflict between somebody else.
Because also the priestesses are all women.
Yeah.
So yeah, he may have wanted something, and then something else happened. And also, it's kind of an imperfect science. People want a baby, but even if they want,
oh,
a
it's
certain
a science
type of baby,
now.
Yeah, imperfect magic.
Babies in little parasols flying down from. Harsh winds is a sign.
From behind Mount Crumpet somewhere.
All right. Well, okay.
Yeah.
And back from the lore. Is that
yes.
I'm happy we wheeled in a little TV so we could show the history of Whoville in the middle of this.
But that does kind of make sense if she wasn't your mom and you have this ability. Like maybe it's because of Vera. And also Vera went missing. Your father may have gotten rid of her or dealt with her because of that concern that... something would happen, but or you don't really know. Like she was in your life for a while, so like maybe he had to get rid of her for a different reason.
He bought her a burger chain and called it after her name, so now she just runs the fast food.
Vera's.
Yeah.
You see that she kind of goes. He came in before he distracted me. He came in with a suitcase. I think it's in. She walks around, finds a suitcase. Your father kind of. Looks like he's completely overwhelmed. He doesn't know what to do, and so he's gone just quiet, but he's thinking about something as this happens. And She pulls the suitcase up, puts it on the kitchen counter, the little kitchen section beside the other workspace tables, the larger studio, opens up the suitcase. The suitcase has essentially just a few business documents in it, but it also has a note from Audrey, sort of a little love note of some sort. It appears Audrey told him, the term that was used is, it's time to confirm our vows, and a little heart and a smile in the heart.
Gross.
And then a bunch of business documents, but nothing that links anything here right away. It's really him who's maybe your key point. He's in shock. So the question I have is, you have a moment to try and do like a persuasion here. He's completely been defeated. And the only thing he cares about is making Purdy like succeed. He seems to have become obsessed with this idea of making Purdy the perfect woman, the perfect child, so that she could succeed in this new world after the end of the world.
Well, I'm already winning. I don't know if you can tell.
So it's like you can ask him questions about who he's related to, connected to, if you wish. Yeah. Right now he's just been stunned into silence. He doesn't know what to do.
Father, you're going to need to tell me.
Can I go and get like a coffee at a different kitchen? There's so much blood.
There's only one.
Well, if you're going, just bring coffees back for everybody.
Okay.
We're going to be here a while.
You go out down the elevator.
Yesterday.
Yeah, I could use coffee. You're going to need to be straight with us. Everything that's happened up until now. There's no secrets anymore.
Did we check his molars for cyanide pills?
Yeah. No, he's not that smart. He looks at Donald with his, again, the gun still pointing shakily at his face. I don't think I have a choice, and your friend is quite trigger happy.
He is. In fact, he's shot the last four people we tried to question.
Donald's like, I don't think I'll ever be happy again.
Unless I'm
shooting. I can't trust anybody.
Yeah, unless I'm shooting someone, I won't feel happy. I'm only doing this because even though your tramp of a mother, and then she just kind of like scoffs and goes over to the kitchen. They're obviously just hate each other.
Tramp of a mother who I cheated on rampantly and has showed no signs of cheating on me.
Yeah, literally just like making up, again, gaslighting.
I feel like
she didn't cheat on me, but if she could, she would have.
They're really going to air out the laundry right now for all of us.
Why doesn't everybody just take a seat?
Yeah. And just
get comfortable.
Start being like, she just scoffs and goes, I wasn't the one who cheated on you.
There's nobody in that.
That we know of.
Exactly. That you can prove.
It's in your blood, your female species.
Yeah.
I'm not just
sexist and a bad man.
And if I did, I'd be better at hiding it.
We know about your natural proclivities towards hypergamy.
Yes.
Well, I have one more question before we proceed. Why is it that none of you have an accent? And that I just have this accent.
Because
and
I forgot to do it. So let's add an accent.
I was just killed. I forgot how to. I had
Well, you see, we raised you primarily by television. And
your mom doesn't have it. Your dad does.
My dad. Why does he not have it?
Well, he does. He should have an accent. So he goes, okay, I'll tell y'all all about it. Well, I'll tell you what I can, because I only care about what's best for you.
Like, I'm imagining I want a landman voice. You know what I mean? I want Billy Bob Thornton.
You want this guy?
Like, we're assaying this land.
We're checking out this land now. Won't I do that?
Yes, Foghorn Leghorn.
No, it's giving the word.
No, that's going to be way too hard. No, we can't do that. Because every second word will be
it'll keep going. Why don't you say that? I do this to you.
Oh, I thought you were doing the King of the Hill.
No,
guy. You know, like, you don't have to talk about it, right?
Boomhauer?
I'll say. Is it Boomhauer? No, it's the other one. It's the fourth one. Boomhauer is like the chubbier one.
I'm saying I say, you're like pricing.
Every word
thing
he says is "Rap God" by Eminem.
Okay. Oh, like no, I'm a rap. I'm in charge of a what's it called? Thing where you buy goods and services.
Boomhauer, you're right.
Talk fast.
I thought this was
auction.
Oh, like auction. No, I'm thinking more like an essay would be like somebody who's like prospector kind of thing, like going out there in the land and being like, yeah, well.
Yeah.
And over there, there's a lot of, there's a lot of
gold.
Yeah, gold. Sure. Yeah, I was going to say.
I'm getting gold.
This is prime,
tilling field over here.
Okay.
And
okay.
over there, there's a little, a little creek. Yeah, we can sap up that water from that. We can put a well right there.
Okay.
And then look at that gravel pit right over there.
Okay.
Oh yeah, this land is.
We were like looking at King of the Hill shit for a minute, and now I completely don't know where we are.
Okay. So he talks a little like this, a little bit like, about the prospect in the world.
Yeah, like we hire you to come in. Yeah. Like you'd be.
Was this accent become so powerful?
I was a powerful man because I stole all the money from the poor people.
Yeah, you're like a imagine you're like a Wall Street bigwig,
Tennessee.
Yeah, exactly. But you've never stepped into a place that had buildings higher than three stories.
I feel like there's so a strong important. Desire in the American imagination to see a business person with that accent.
Yeah,
right. No, bolo tie. Think bolo tie. Right. That's what I think.
I'm very rich in North Carolina,
and like a 10-gallon hat. Yeah, that's my daddy.
Yeah. So he's like, oh, okay. I'll tell you what I can. From everything that's happened.
Doug's Dimmadome and Dump Doug.
Yeah, yeah. Literally, Doug Dimmadome. I will only tell you because I care about you, Purdy, and not about all your stupid friends. So, here's what...
And you're her smart friend.
Donald Cox, the guy. okay, I'll tell you what I can. I would
just refrain on the insults, insults.
If you had fraternized only with the people I'd approved of, this would never have happened. So I'm just going to remind you of that. Anyways, so...
Most of the people that you approved of are murderers, apparently.
Well, people that you literally hired
to take care of me and to clothe me and feed me.
But did they murder you?
Well, they tried.
I'm very certain. I told the butler to make sure you were not harmed.
Well, I don't know if that message got through because he basically told me he was waiting for the opportunity to kill me a long time ago. But he just did it because he needed a paycheck. He didn't do it because he was.
Well, you should have told me so I could have fired him.
Well,
anyways, I'm here.
But then he would have killed me because he's not getting paid.
Okay, fine. Well, here's what I can tell you. I have, about 6 or 7 months ago, I stumbled upon a Christmas cheer support group. Initially, I thought it was Bubkiss and kind of stupid. But
how did you even end up there?
Well, I had a manager of my flagship store who was struggling with some issues. She said she needed more money, and I told her that was ridiculous.
Flagship store down in Hooklahoma.
Downtown Whoville, my flagship store.
All right.
And she wanted a bigger pay bump, and I told her that's simply not possible, and she said I have
been... Humaha location.
In the Humaha Street. and she wanted more. And I said, no, I can't do that because I you don't deserve it, and also I'm simply not going to do that for you. But... All right. So she told me that she had started going to this support group. Now, when she went, her personality completely changed. And I later found out that she had killed her friends and family and was living in the house, and she became a serial killer. I didn't report this because that would make my business look bad, but I looked into this support group.
Now you're like JFK or something. Yeah, right?
I looked into the support group.
He's like, well, I didn't report this because... Yeah.
because it would be a problem.
Well, I wouldn't have won re-election.
So I told them that we got to, you know, I looked into it and I found this group. They told me about the coming of Thrill Grip and everything they were doing, and that if I supported their business efforts, then we would get a big payout. Big payout. And I mean, like, rule the rest of Whoville forever payout. And I was intrigued. So I agreed, mostly because I was hoping to help Purdy survive the incoming storm. They had unlocked some quite terrifying powers, some abilities, and I realized that this whole town was doomed. And if it was doomed, I had to help my daughter. So they asked me to continue working with them, and I started having carnal relations with Audrey because she was everything that a woman should be. And
Miles.
She was intoxicating.
Quick with a sandwich.
Yeah, quick with a sandwich. Always happy. The main thing is she was always happy.
She was always
never sad, ever. Which is great for me. I don't want to deal with people's emotional problems, especially not my wife's. So it was a great deal. But she told me about things, and I got involved. So I've been working with this cult, a cult called Cult on the Green. And the Cult of the Green is working to bring back Thrill Grip. And they had some major benefactors in the government. So I was quick to bring in the private sector.
How do you not believe into Christmas, but you believe in like a weird demonic entity?
Well, Christmas spirit I don't believe in because this demonic entity exists. According to the cult, Christmas spirit is all a lie. It's all Thrill Grip. The babies come from Thrill Grip. His dreams. Everyone is stuck here because of Thrill Grip. He feeds off of our greed, off of our wants, off of our desires. He keeps everyone stuck in the snowflake. And when he comes, the snowflake will burst and we'll be back in a new world, a place of unlimited opportunity where I can start more department stores with your face on it, honey. And we can rule the world. The corporate, the private sector
with
world.
With your face on it, honey. But with just some minor variation, yeah. Some minor edits to make it
edits.
Even more appealing.
Right, exactly.
To the general
rouge.
Population.
Exactly. So that's what that was the plan. And they offered me a deal. If I worked with them, if I funded this shitty Christmas tree farm, I don't know if you know of it. It's out in the boondocks, basically.
Well, we do know it quite
yeah.
well.
So we involved ourselves with that man, that's the sad man, and then we supported different aspects, but all under the direction of the cult leadership, which from my understanding, I never got to speak to them directly, but it was believed related to the Whoville Sanitation Department, and that was
right.
a deal that right. I made. But I did this all just for you, so that we could survive the oncoming storm. And since I didn't care much for your mother, and you see she like is drinking coffee and adding alcohol to it, just like adding vodka, I thought it was a perfect. I was willing to make the necessary sacrifice, so I'd injured her so I could cart her off to some spot where we could hand her off, and then we could prepare for the final ritual. It makes sense,
it's
right?
It's a very
wild-eyed.
It's a very circular argument. I don't think you've have you thought about the fact that there's no way to know if this is real or not?
No, there is, because I've seen the magic they can do, and the monster, the hairy, multi-handed monster. It's real. It's all here,
but you can say that it's all from Thrill Grip, or that maybe it's because they're bringing about Thrill Grip. It's everything that's necessary to bring him back, or to create him. Not that he created everything.
I mean, I
how do you know? You just believe in it, like people believe in Christmas, like people believe in Saint Cindy. We just watched a miracle right here.
Your power, the thing you have. I saw the book.
But it doesn't have to be this way.
That book is from what they told me. All the books are just manuals. They keep the prison in place. They guide how to keep it together, and you're just a part of the tool. You could fight against all you want, but you're still using the power that supposedly comes from under the mountain.
Right, but it doesn't have to be this evil, all-consuming force.
Well, it does. This is what the world is.
No.
You live a privileged life, Purdy Hubunkins.
No.
You don't understand everything I've had to do to make sure that we are on top.
No. Without the need.
No.
No. Without pursuing greed to its extent, there is no final, you know, all-consuming conclusion where there's this thrill grip that will take over everything and destroy us. Why can't we just be comfortable with enough is enough?
You see, this logic hits enough. Straight at the core of, like, the antithesis of who your father is. Because for so long he's been, I need to have more. I need to get more money. I need to have more businesses. I need to expand the company. I need to have more locations. I need to
strict every little penny out. Don't you see this is the destruction that we're talking about? If you keep pursuing that, of course, it will lead us right to Thrill Grip. It'll lead us through to our own demise. But if we change our goal as a society.
You sound like a politician, Freddy.
Maybe I sound like an angel.
A who?
Maybe a saint.
Look, I can't. Obviously, I have no power to stop you, but my advice is for you to get over yourself. If you're going to, if you think you can actually change this world for the better, try it. If you prove me wrong, fine. But right now, after everything I've seen, everything I've done, Whoville's doomed. It's a rotten place filled with rotten people. And all I'm doing is playing the game as it's been written. So as much as you would like to try and stop it, I wish you luck. And I hope that you can find what you're looking for. All I can tell you is I helped. I gave money. I gave support. I made sure that we could cover up the kidnapping of the seven Whos that we used in the first ritual. And I absolutely, though I know that the leadership is in the sanitation department, I do not know where the final ritual is taking place. They were going to tell me after I sacrificed your mother, but I will no longer be able to be invited to that special occasion, it appears.
Well, you were in a position to change the rules. We all are, right now.
If this was so inevitable from the beginning, why did you need to do a bunch of rituals to make it happen?
They told me that...
If it was inevitable...
Well, they told me that the current situation is that although it was going to eventually happen, that we could make it happen faster. And that... You see that this is where his logic breaks down. Like, he obviously justifies it as... Oh, I was doing this because it was going to happen regardless. That's justification. Absolutely, you guys are right. He did not know what was going to happen. He was told, my daughter will be able to be like this powerful member of society, will take a more public role in charge. This is what I want. I'm greedy. He was greedy and selfish. I want to be the most powerful person in Whoville. And the cult told him that's what he could do. So he just took that as gospel. And he... kind of just believed what they told him.
Yeah.
But you're right. Like, there's no situation. They obviously needed to do all this stuff to make it happen, suggesting that there's something in place that stops that from happening. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And there's a force that is trying to pull Thrill Grib out of the mountain, but there's a force equally in place to keep him there.
Yep.
And that's where you don't know how these forces interlock.
I brought coffee.
Yeah. How many pumps? Two pumps, one. How many?
the woman, your mother grabs one and puts more vodka in.
Oh my God.
So obviously he's like, you know, he was in a position, he's in a position to have, to not just play the rules as they are or whatever, but to actually influence and change things. But he obviously didn't see that. Maybe he didn't feel like he had the
yeah, he was either butting up against like the mayor system and like struggled with like, maybe he was like selfish. He was just
obviously
the government is always my problem.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Well, that's what you're getting blinded by, like you said, just trying to like, you know, like just move your own peg and you're not thinking about the, But now this is an opportunity for him to, if he wanted to with all of us to change that, rather than complaining about this is just the way things are and it's all going to end.
Yeah.
You know, like there, if we told him there is an opportunity, we think there's a force, there's an equal force, you know, acting to prevent this you know, horrific end, that could be an opportunity for him to actually change that. Because I don't think he's presented with that.
You could.
Because he obviously wasn't presented with an ability to stop this from happening. He's just saying he's seen powers that he can't.
Understand, explain.
He can't do himself.
Yeah.
So he has not seen any magic that he can do. He only has what he can do, which is like money and manipulation and stuff like that.
For him, they look like they're gonna win.
Yeah.
They have this horrible
monster.
They
have like a superpower. They have like, you know, like a death ray.
Yeah.
So, but if we said we have an equal force that's as powerful, potentially.
I mean, maybe like, he doesn't know you fully connect with the book. He doesn't know that like
if we are in touch with what really matter, we can prevent this from happening. We have a force just as great acting to keep things in balance.
According to the cult, that's the lie of the church.
Is it a lie or was it the truth for many, many centuries? Do we need to rediscover that truth?
I don't know, Purdy. I'm not a historian, nor do I have the information that the cult has. Whatever they've done, they've summoned something monstrous, and they believe that the books are connected to a force that is dark, that something was sealed away, and that thing will eventually escape, and this is why they are doing it now. I don't know the motivation of the leadership. They've only ever told me that this was going to reset or alter the powers that be in Whoville. and change the world in a way that I don't even fully understand. Well,
connected to a force, it may be, but that force is a reflection of how we all behave, what we're turning into.
I believe they believe that that force is not so much a reflection of us as much as we are influenced by it.
So you think we're being caused to behave this way?
Yes. According to the cult, the thing under the mountain is a force that influences our thoughts, changes Whoville subtly and insidiously. And so it's some form of force that we can't fully overcome unless we were to somehow leave, but we can't leave the snowflake. It's you know, we're stuck here. So it's just a matter of breaking free in their mind to do that. But I don't know. If you think you have a way to stop it, then that's better than what I was presented with. I didn't see a way to stop them from succeeding.
It's also better than when you suggested we all kill ourselves.
I mean, I was a little bit in panic. Tried to kill your mother, and I put her in the beanbag, and I was cleaning up, and you showed up, and I was a little bit flustered.
Yeah. Well, it seems like you're typically not the idea guy in your organization.
I'm more the idea guy. I don't execute the plan normally. I give the plan, and then the butler does it. The butler, for some reason, hasn't shown up, and I don't know why. He went missing. I was planning to maybe even kill his whole family because you know, give him to the cult because he didn't even show up to work this morning, which is absolutely devastating.
Did we kill him?
Yes. He killed himself. Frankly, I was going to ruin his 401k, just like that stupid member of the random kid whose account.
Your ideas, the last couple of them, have been dog shit. The Christmas countdown clock that doesn't include batteries that's sold and everything.
Then they have to buy batteries. That's why
nobody's buying them. Because they know that it doesn't include batteries. It says it doesn't include batteries. Okay, okay. So they're just not buying your clock.
Okay, again, but if
you spend all this money producing these clocks that don't include batteries, they're just buying fucking clocks. They're clocks that they can wind. If it doesn't have batteries, why would they buy your clock?
Well, because I lobbied.
There's a clock that counts down to Christmas in the middle of town square.
It goes very loudly.
It tells you every
7 days, 4 days till Christmas.
If yours doesn't have batteries, they have no need to buy yours, even if. And they already have one. Who came up? That was the worst idea I've ever.
I know. The government put that in. Stupid public money ruining private enterprise here. I could have sold way more clocks if they didn't put that stupid public clock everywhere. It's like now going on a rant about how things should be privatized and nothing should be public.
Non-market competition.
No. We should also distortion. We should sue the planet for turning around because it provides like a
the snowflake.
Free,
you mean
like yeah. Oh, sure, yeah, yeah. Provides like
yeah,
a
the free the planet to, like, turning
time tracking.
How dare? What can it do? Yep. So you just like hear him start going a rant, but you do present him with something that he can't deny, which is like if you had a way to maybe stop it, you could.
Yeah.
But he also gives you that information that the sanitation department's a part of this, and that's the big lead. That also weirdly connects a weird through line for you because Ronald was arrested and he worked for the sanitation department.
Yeah, yeah.
Which means the person who arrested him knew to set him up for whatever reason.
Let's ask him.
We've kind of left Ronald in jail.
He's in jail.
Yeah,
haven't
yeah,
we?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know where the sanitation department meetings would have been held where they would have these sorts of.
I was never brought to a meeting, but I knew that. The person in charge, had an assistant, and the assistant would meet with our members. With at least once, I met them at the Sugar Plum Fairy Cabaret.
Cabaret.
What's her name? It starts with an M. It's the lady we like brought her name up when we went to the Christmas tree.
Oh, Maribel was the one who the sister. Maribel was the sister of the accountant who had died. But then there's also the head of the Grinch estate. And there's Hebetia. Hebetia's the one who was kidnapped.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, they say that they met there. So it's like, that's where they met. But I'm pretty sure I always met with the assistant. And the assistant, I do know their address. And their address happened to be in town. And they were having a hard, they were in a bit of a distraught state for some reason. But they kept doing the work for the head of the sanitation department. They were assistant to the head. They were assistant to Budwell. And as he says, well, not Budwell, It's Budwell Mayhew. Now, you can do a history check right now if you want.
Sure, yeah.
To know if you know Mayhew.
My history.
You don't think so?
Girl, you would know Mayhew. Is five to like below.
This is more to how much detail you remember. If you just know a passing information or if you know more.
I need to roll below a five.
Yeah, you don't remember anything.
I got an 80.
I rolled a 24.
Nice.
Oh, so I didn't remember very much because my history is five, but like. Not in Will's place.
I also rolled under half.
Okay. So for the people who rolled, who failed, your knowledge of Mayhew is that he's the head of the sanitation department and his family has been...
Our knowledge of him is... Who? Yeah.
His family has been a part of the sanitation department for a couple years. Like, for several generations. So it basically, his father and his father before him, his grandfather, were all sanitation members. And then they kind of got into the leadership of the department after working in it for some time. And
so like a garbage dynasty.
Yes, and then with under half, you realize
it
Budwell
comes to me in your carpet.
Yes, exactly. Budwell Mayhew is the ancestor of the old mayor of Whoville.
Yeah,
during the events of the Grinch Who Stole Christmas, because his last name was
Jeffrey Tambor.
This is like. We need like a we need like a Grinch expert on set for like
But the last name was Mayhew, and that was the one
who continuity details perfect. Yeah,
he was the mayor during the events of the Grinch Who Stole Christmas. He loved Martha May Huvier, but ended up being rejected by her for the Grinch. He was swiftly removed from power in an election after the Grinch Stole Christmas because he had done all this shit to antagonize the Grinch. And when the Grinch brought everything back, a bunch of scandal came out about how he had been very weird with Martha May Huvier. There was like some like he was doing some weird shit. And then he was really upset about them getting married. He was like, he couldn't handle it. There was a huge problem where it was revealed that he was like a bully. The Grinch started to do more for the town than he did, really. And he just lost any political like power and popularity. And he was viewed as basically this like shitty politician. And then his family had to retreat from public life because they were also tarnished by his bad reputation. And then they joined the sanitation department and became a garbage dynasty. And that's interesting because this person has a very clear family relation with the Grinch. And as you think about it, a very clear like family issue with the Grinch family.
The running hostility of...
Well, and also if the cult wanted to replace the leadership and get power, they've lost that political power in the past. And this is now the cult's motivation appears to be not just bring Thrillgrib back, but bring Thrillgrib back so that they can become leaders of Whoville once more.
And get rid of the Grinch and, or well, his
yeah,
opposite of ancestors. Successors?
Yeah, his successors. I think the main thing that happens after that is that you, I assume, like ask him to tell you where is the assistant? Like what, where does he live? And Randall do who? So Randall is his assistant. And he says, he gives you Randall's home address, that would be a spot. Now, as he gives you the home address, you realize Randall lives very close to the sanitation department, which the sanitation department actually has like a big complex because that complex is connected to the tunnel system that goes into Everwonder Whoville and around to do garbage collection. So he kind of gives you that location and then he goes, okay, so what's next? You're gonna leave me here? I feel like I've repented for my sins enough. I really should just let me go at this point. He's trying real hard.
We have no further questions at this time. Donald just shoots him.
Yeah, basically. He's what shakily if we, bringing his gun up.
I think what we should do is we should give the gun to the wife and be like, you know, you can do whatever you want with him.
Yeah.
And just leave. But it's, honestly, it's up to you, Greg, because like she, I don't know. It's your mess, you know.
Yeah.
I say that we tie his hands together and then stuff him in a bag in the bean bag.
Your mother goes, I agree. And you see that he's already gotten his hands tied with like clothing
Mom, you
scraps.
Can just, you can just sit on him all day.
I think I'm going to do that. And you see that he goes, no, you can't do this.
Give the rest of the coffee to her. I'm like, you know,
yeah. And watch reruns of your favorite soap operas.
I've told everyone what I need to hear. And then he gets stuffed slowly into a beanbag. That's like very bloody.
And obviously he's gagged.
Extremely cheeky.
We turn on Secret Lives of Whoville Wives on TV.
No, I hate this thing. It's all about women.
He's the Whoswives of Who.
The Whowives of Who's of Whoville.
The real Whoswives.
What is it? Is it a hoof? Is that a hoof? What? A hoof and a husband.
A husband and hoof.
Who real hoofs of
wife
of who bill
my hoof
<My hoof. laughs> And then you see that he's like tied in the bag. She doesn't even sit on him because it would be like too much contact. She doesn't want to even touch her. She just shoves him into a corner and goes, I'll watch him and I'll call the police. Oh wait, should I call the police? I don't know if they're in on. Okay, I won't say anything and I'll let you continue. Is there anything you need from me before I guess you go where you want to go?
Just a motherly kiss on the cheek.
I was going to say, Purdy might need a hug.
Oh, yeah. That one. I should do that.
Yeah, you know, we've been through a lot together, whatever it is that we are. But
I haven't done this in a while. What is your preferred?
You just put your hands around somebody. Is it just, left? All you do is side, just, right? Just, it doesn't matter.
Okay, sorry, I'm just...
No. Just, yeah, both hands. No, okay. Don't pat me on the back.
I was going to do that. It,
don't.
Okay. How long do I hold?
Oh my God,
well, you can breathe. So you breathe cute. Normally. You don't hold your breath. You just breathe normally. It's good, right?
Yeah. So am I supposed to rub?
No. It's good for you. I'm doing this for you, too. It's nice. Okay. You're being held.
Yeah.
For the first time in a long time.
This is very emotionally overwhelming for me right now, and I'm gonna let go now. She starts to let go, but you don't.
I see you're letting go, but you're not actually letting go. You're pulling away, but you're not. Yeah. You haven't let...
Yeah. You can, I'm just giving a little space.
Okay.
A little bit of
when
tears.
When you're ready, when you're ready, I'm ready.
You wait for like 2 minutes. And then she finally dislodges.
All right. Okay, we're done now. Okay.
Okay. If you need a way to get around, I do have an extra vehicle if you want something.
Is it the fast one?
Yeah.
Well, maybe we will.
It's a speedster. It'll be able to hold four of you. And I actually know you could do probably 5.
Is this the one that you guys used to exactly take me around, drive me around? And you said that there was a back seat, but it's really just like 2 feet of space.
Yeah, it's kind of a 2-seater actually.
Cram space.
It is a bit of a 2-seater.
Got a small Italian child in the trunk that you can let out, so he'll go zoom zoom.
I can only fit in there when the top's off.
Yeah. So maybe you don't want that one. It's fine. You probably have a better option, anyways. But I'll be here. And you can, I guess, go where you want to go. Okay. So my question for you is, we'll kind of end where you end up. So where do you want to go? You've been given 2 options. You can go to the Sugar Plum Fairy Cabaret. You could go just to his house, but his house, he may not be there as well. So you kind of have to decide. He will say, your father will tell you that this person, Randall, goes to the cabaret a lot. Like he's frequently there and he's been distraught.
And we have a friend there, right? The girl.
There was the woman that was at the cheer support group who said that another cabaret worker had come to the support group.
Cabaret is good enough for us.
Randall is your best bet for getting someone who knows like maybe a lot more about the sanitation department. And that will hopefully give you an avenue to then get the final piece you need there. So then you can go and hopefully deal with this, which would put you with like 2 days or so before Christmas, I think, because it's been a couple of days now. And it was one day when it's like 3 days probably at that point. So you drive off towards the Sugar Plum Fairy Cabaret.
Close.
We're cutting it wide enough that we could even like spend a day going to the gun range and
you get one extra day. You don't know if they'll like make it go faster, but you know they do that. You drive.
Could you
off.
Imagine? We just like we level up our shooting only to like nothing. Guns are not effective at all.
Yeah. Mine will be because it's magical.
Yeah, exactly. You drive off to the Sugar Plum Fairy Cabaret, going back towards West Whoville, the less wealthy part of Whoville. When you arrive, after driving through the streets, you see a building. It's a one-story building. It's quite a large building footprint. You see a scantily clad Who with fairy wings, dressed in like lingerie in neon lights. And it says Sugar Plum Fairy Cabaret, very big, expensive looking sign. And then this building that is painted with the brightest pink paint you've ever seen, just on all the walls. You step out, the driver kind of does a snowflake symbol on his chest.
Oh my
God. Because it's like...
Wait, how do you do snowflake symbol?
Like, it's basically a pentagram, if you think about it.
Heptagram?
Yeah, it would be, but he can't do, I guess it'd be, it's too hard to do this.
Yeah.
So it has to be like pentagram shape. And then you step out. He goes, I should stay here. I shouldn't go. I feel like as someone of... I just feel like I shouldn't probably go in.
I'm okay. Sorry. You're okay. Drives off.
I'll stay here. But everyone else gets out. Donald kind of blushes a bit. I've never been to one of these places before. And you realize that Sugar Plum Fairy Cabaret is essentially partially a strip club.
Yeah.
And so you step towards this building and step inside. As you step inside, you see an assault on your senses. It is not Christmas.
You said we see an assault taking place.
No, an assault on your senses. It is not Christmas themed inside. There's tons of Christmas clothing, like all the women who are dressed, if they're dressed scantily clad, they're wearing green, red, and like white clothes and lingerie, but the inside is bright pink. Everything is painted pink or white. It is very, very glittery as well in different places. You're sort of looking around and you see a few like of these women clock you, and initially they see you and they kind of whisper. They don't go up to you right away. And then the woman you saw at the Christmas cheer support group sees you at the back of this building as she's walking out with like a bunch of drinks for a bunch of people at a table. She waves and goes, "Oh my god!" And starts running over. "Oh sorry, here's your drink. Here's your drink, son. Oh, lap dance in 5 minutes. Okay, hi. Oh my god, what happened to your arm?" And looks at Donald. Donald goes, "Stuff happened.
We had a run-in with Audrey.
This is crazy.
This is crazy.
Okay, is everyone okay?"
Yeah, we've been better. Sure.
Well, what brings you here?" And you hear a voice directly behind you as you turn around and see a woman go, "That's right. What brings you here?" And you see a like 35-year-old woman in a corset that's struggling to keep it together. She's the oldest woman here, and she looks like she's in charge of the place, the sort of matron. She's got a big, long, like French cigarette holder, but the cigarette is a clove. Yeah, 35,
where like the, you know, the, this is
I
the,
guess.
You know?
She's quite beautiful, but she's obviously older than all the other women.
Yeah,
For her, she was definitely a really, really pretty young woman, and now she's just graduated to being in charge of the Sugar Plum Fairy Cabaret for being here so long.
Yeah.
And
hello there, madame.
Yes, she's a madame.
You're saying that 35 is too old to be in a cabaret.
I guess 40. She must be 40. She has to be at least like 40.
Yes, I've still got like a year and a half on that.
So she's 40. And
then you age out.
Yeah. And she goes, "You should."
Then you're not even a MILF anymore.
Yeah. "You should introduce your friends. I just want to make sure because you were at that dangerous event recently." And then you see she looks at all of you and says, "It's wonderful to meet all of you. My name is Madame Ginger Snap." And then she snaps her fingers like a click.
Yeah.
Ginger
Snap?
Her name is Madame Ginger Snap.
Okay.
"Named after my famous dance move.
Oh,
what brings
no.
you to the Sugar Plum Fairy Cabaret?" And she puts her finger and like gently touches Sandra's front of her. Like kind of like does a little like flirtatious like touch with her finger on your shoulder. And that's
we're investigating something.
Immediately blush. <Yeah. laughs> And that's where we'll end.
And I'm
it.
Here to repel evil spirits.
You're you like know? You're like holding your little
I'm like,
we're investigating and she's the Inquisition.
Oh. It's very important to make sure that we expect the Inquisition. So if you want our special VIP booth, it's right over there. And you see...
We can put you in a comfy chair.
Yeah, in a comfy chair. And that's where we'll sort of end it. Yeah. You just meet...
And I've lost my parents, and I'm looking to raise myself.
Have you considered becoming a dancer? You are a perfect seven.
Ended it. Oh, yeah. A true seven.
Yeah.